We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Our draft coverage rolls on with John Chuckery and Hugh Douglas on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back in Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. NFL Draft Saturday, hanging out with you here till 6 o'clock, halfway home. John Chuckery, Hugh Douglas with you here as we're watching up the last bits of the NFL draft as it continues to roll along here on the NFL draft. Anyway, 404-741-0929. That's the phone line. That's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. We ask you to download the Radio.com app. That way you can catch us when you're not in your vehicle. It's the cool new way to listen. Download that on your smartphone or your smart speakers or your turntable or 8-track player or LaserDisc or Commodore 64, Sega Genesis, Texas Instruments, calculator, whatever you got for a device, just download it onto that. Social media is all at 929 The Game. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all the different platforms are available to you there. The best way, as always, to be a part of our show, follow us on our personal Twitter handles. You can reach myself at JMCH316. He is at BigHugh53. Hugh, what have you thought about the coverage thus far, like the presentation of the draft and all that? What's been kind of your thoughts about how this has all gone on this weekend?
I think they did a pretty good job, you know, under the circumstances. They didn't really do a whole lot of talking to different GMs or anything like that. They kept it real clean. They kept it simple. And I think that really worked. That worked extremely well for the NFL when they did this.
Did anybody actually work with Roger Goodell on how to pronounce any names or anything like that? To me, he's been like the biggest sideshow of the whole thing, where he starts off in a suit jacket, then he's in a sweater. I was waiting for him to like get in the Hugh Hefner robe with a pipe at some point. Thursday night, by about pick 25, he looked like he was about two picks away from growing a Ron Burgundy mustache and having a glass of scotch on the rocks. I mean, then he doesn't know half the names, and I don't know. He's waving to the Zoom board, which is recorded, and I don't know what he's doing. He's clapping. I don't know, man. It just looked weird.
You know what he was trying to do? He was trying to make it as natural as you possibly could under the circumstances.
Right, by making it so awkward that it looked anything but natural.
But you know,
I get it. Right.
Some people aren't good with natural. Some people just aren't, because that's not their element. I mean, you know,
but he's a lawyer. But Hugh, he's a lawyer by trade. Hell, he had to have spoken in front of crowds before.
Chuck, when was the last time he practiced law, though? Like, when was the last time he actually had to do that? I mean, you know, even with that.
His wife is a news anchor. His wife is that Jane Skinner that used to be on Fox.
So
she couldn't have worked with him?
So given all of that, you just feel like he should have done a lot better job than he's done. He did, basically.
Listen, Hugh, he should have gone into full gimmick mode and just had the Hugh Hefner red robe on and nothing underneath and smoking a pipe and sitting in that big leather chair that he had. He should have just gone. Listen, I appreciate that he did the booze and all that. You know, I mean, I appreciate that he had fun with all that. But if you're going to do it, just go gimmick mode. He should have been like in a robe and a pipe. I mean, like Andy Reid. Look, they're showing Andy Reid right now. You know, like Andy Reid, you know, has got the Tommy Bahama shirts. They're showing him, you know, he's got some kind of, I don't know, spinach kale smoothie in front of him. He's in full gimmick mode. Okay?
That's Coach Reid, though. I mean, you know, Coach Reid is feeling himself right now, got the monkey off his back, and is feeling real good. So he can do that. It's a little different with Coach Reid. He's in a little bit different situation. Roger Goodell.
By the way.
Yes.
No, I was just going to say, I like their first two draft picks. I like Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You could listen. Here's the advantage. People say, oh, man, they picked Edwards too high. Why? He's their guy. And they won the Super Bowl. So you know what? If you need a guy and you've got a guy identified and you're the Super Bowl champion, what the hell difference does it make where you draft a guy? I thought he was a really good draft pick, and I really like that Willie Gay Jr. In fact, I had him in my mock that I really wish the Falcons could have taken a look at him. He's a very productive linebacker. So just sidebar there, I don't want to step on your comment, but
No, you're fine. I
really like what the Chiefs did in their first two picks.
Yeah, you know, when you got the big piece of chicken, it ain't too much you could do wrong. I mean, let's be totally honest about that. When you're working with the big piece of chicken, everybody you're everybody's friend, and all your jokes are funny. So that's why it works for Coach Reed. Nobody likes
no,
the
I,
commissioner.
I agree with you.
I mean, let's
yeah,
think
I mean,
about it. Nobody
just,
likes
it,
the commissioner.
It looks weird, though.
Yeah,
but
because
I mean,
nobody
it,
likes
it. It looks weird.
I guarantee you, if he would have been a guy that, you know, was very, very likable, there wouldn't be too much that he did do that you would find, you know, not funny. You know what I'm saying? That's just how
it
is.
But who's the last likable commissioner? Who's the last likable NFL commissioner?
Who was this?
Wasn't Tagliabue.
Tagliabue. I was about to say Tagliabue.
He wasn't likable.
He was pretty likable.
He's an egghead. Nobody liked him.
No.
And so, Pete Rozelle was one of the most polarizing figures in the history of the league.
Let's qualify this a little bit. You didn't like him.
Uh-huh.
You didn't like him. And it ain't too many people that you do.
Hold on. You like the checks that you got when you played under him.
No,
I
like
that. Okay.
You know what I like? I like the fact that he actually called my name on draft day.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. He would have called, you know, he would have said something.
Yeah.
You brought up a point earlier when we were talking about AJ Terrell that I'm going to dispute you on a little bit. I don't want to say dispute, but just counterpoint, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, I talked about the level of competition, and you were saying, you know, you were a guy that, you know, didn't play. But there is a difference. You know, if A.J. Terrell played like Deion Sanders at Florida State against the ACC would be one thing. Or if he played like my brain just went to – if he played like DeMarcus Ware played mm-hmm. in Troy, you know, or how about this one? If he played at Clemson the way Khalil Mack dominated at Buffalo – that would be a difference. You know, even mm-hmm. Joe Flacco, what he did at Delaware. You know, if you dominate like you did or guys like that did, Steve
McNair. That's a different animal.
You know, Steve McNair, you know. So when you talk about level of competition, you know, it's one thing when you just completely dominate the division that you're in, like McNair or Khalil Mack or guys like that. But it's another thing when, you know, it's – you know, you were pretty good, but you also struggled, you know, sometimes against the best competition. You know, sometimes when he faced the best competition, you know, his results weren't always that good.
You know what? I'll say that to this. Now, from what I've heard, I've seen him play, and the one lasting game that's in everybody's mind is the game against LSU. But for the most part, when you look at him play, he's been a pretty solid player throughout his whole career.
Oh, yeah. He's a very talented cornerback.
Yeah.
6'1", you know, 195. He's very talented. He's just got – I think the upside is there, but the question is, okay, how much can he come in today and help this defense? Because as you even talked about, and I've said this for, before I had gray hair, Falcons are in win-now mode. Falcons are, we need to get to the Super Bowl, because they're looking at two teams in their own division that are saying, we have to win the Super Bowl now. Not in 3 years, we have to win the Super Bowl now.
Oh, I totally agree. I totally agree. But I think that, to your point, he's going against, he probably hasn't been challenged week in and week out like he probably would have been challenged in the SEC. But,
oh yeah,
you know, you talk about some of the things that Coach Sweeney was talking about. He has the heart. He's a smart kid. He's adjustable. Now, I think that when you're going into a situation like this, the one thing that you have to know is that you're going to have some bad days. But how do you respond to those bad days? I think that's the biggest thing. And that's kind of what I took from what everybody was saying about him. Listen, he's a kid that's gonna. He's a coachable kid. I think that right there within itself is huge. Is you're coachable, and you know that.
Right.
going to this level that you're not going to be at the top of your game. There's going to be, you know, you're going to get cooked probably quite a bit in your first couple of weeks in a Falcons uniform by your Falcons teammates, because you're going to have to adjust to the speed of the game. Now, with all of that being said, the way that he learns, what he learns in the study room is going to be important, and how that translates to the field is going to be important as well. It's all on him how good he can be, because everybody that comes into the game has a point where they have to learn the speed of the game and just to adjust to the pro level.
Yeah, and listen, Hugh, he's coming from the best program in America, and yes. Just to tick off our listeners, he's coming from the best collegiate football program in America. Clemson is the best football program in America right now. Sorry,
you just
Alabama.
Want that smoke today, huh? You just want all the smoke.
Yeah, bring it. Yeah, bring it. I'm in draft mode, man. Coach Collins got me all fired up, man. Coach Collins got me. I want to run through a wall for Coach Collins, man. I mean,
yeah, he's a fiery guy, isn't he? Definitely a fiery guy.
Yeah. I mean, and he, listen, what I love. I know we're sidebarring here. We're all over the place. What I love about Coach Collins is he is saying exactly what a lot of us have been trying to say for years now. This idea of, oh, Georgia Tech and academics and all that, hogwash. You know, there's nothing about a team right in the heart of the city of Atlanta that shouldn't be a consistent winner, can't get NFL guys all the time. Hell, that was never an issue for Chan Gailey or for George O'Leary or any of those guys that were here Ross. I mean, it wasn't Bobby Ross. It wasn't an issue for any of those guys. So why all of a sudden did it have to be an issue for the last guy that was here? Why did it have to be something? Oh, it's academics and all that. Hogwash.
I mean,
anytime in basketball and football, when they had coaches that knew what they were doing, they never had an issue getting those kids in here.
And I tell you what, since I've been here, like being, you know, on the radio, that was a lot of the stuff that I heard when it came to Georgia Tech. Well, the academics are too tough. And for Coach Collins to come in and say, you know what, no, that's not it. We can get these kids in. We can get these kids what they need to be successful here. He's trying to change the culture. And by him saying that, and kids that are in earshot of this radio station, and when they hear him say that, they feel like they have a chance to go to Georgia Tech. I mean, that's the biggest thing, man. Like as a former player back in the day, if you're telling me, oh, you would never get into so-and-so because, you know, it's too hard or you don't have the grades or whatever, that right there is the biggest deterrent. Like you're already being told subconsciously, well, you can't get in there because, you know, it's this, that, and the third. But when you have a coach that's coming out saying, listen, if you're willing to work with us, we'll work with you. That right there within itself changes the narrative. That changes the dynamic of the whole recruiting process, because they're going to look at your grades and they're going to look at you. And that's basically telling players that they're going to give you everything that you need to be successful. Study table, whatever that may be, study tables. Outside of, you know, getting somebody to do your work for you, but they're going to do everything to get you ready to play football there and be successful after your days of playing college football at Georgia Tech.
Well, I can tell you, that was one of the most fun nights of the year I had last year, was going to the spring game with you.
And we're not
like
going to be
out.
Able to do it, Chuck.
I know.
That kind of hurts a little bit, man. I was excited.
It
you know,
does.
I was excited.
I was very much looking forward to year two with Coach Collins, because, you know, we had our opinions. And, look, we had a chance to not only be down there, but we talked to the former voice of Georgia Tech with Wes Durham. We were talking to former players, Joe Hamm, and different guys that were down there. Ryan Stewart was down there talking with him. I mean, you know, we had a chance to talk to these guys about what they thought of the program. And, you know, I was excited. And plus, you know, listen, we did some night drinking. I mean, it was a good time last year, you know, and I was looking forward to all that. And I feel like we got cheated. I feel like this whole China virus thing got us cheated, that we missed out on some of these fun nights that we could have had.
Yeah, man, and I just wanted to see, you know, honestly for me, I just wanted to see how it was going to be, you know, going to Tech, you know, after, you know, I had all the Tech smoke and just trying to make friends with all the Tech fans. That's what I wanted to see.
Why? Who did you – what happened? Did you –
just,
you,
you know,
had
just
smoke?
We don't have to rehash, but just, you know, like Tech fans that thought I was trying to diss the program, which I wasn't. But, you know, they got a little bit upset, but I was just trying to, you know,
well,
I'm a fence builder now. I'm not a bridge burner. I'm a fence builder.
Hugh, I know you personally, and I don't know that I've ever – I don't know that, you know, I mean, unless, I don't know, was there somebody from the Cowboys staff that was on Georgia Tech that you had an issue with or something?
Not that I know of. I didn't know if there was any Cowboy fans on the Georgia Tech staff. No, not that I, you know, that I knew of. But, yeah, No, I mean, I'm trying to be a fence builder now, and I didn't have any beef with Tech fans. Matter of fact, I love the Tech fans. They're great people, smart people.
Well, I hope Coach Collins is right that next year, you know, we see guys from Georgia Tech that are going to be looked at going in the NFL draft because, you know, to his point, one is it's tough to win in major college football without some guys that are Sunday players, but at the same time is, you know, this is a proud program. You can't write the history of college football without a section devoted to Georgia Tech and what they've meant to the sport in its history. And to, you know, not have guys on a day like today or yesterday or Thursday, you know, it is time to get back to having some of these guys. You know, you want to see ESPN put a graphic up there of highlights from down on the flats and, you know, this guy, you know, doing something against Virginia and he's doing something against Clemson and this, that, and the other. It's time to get back to that. And that's what I love about Collins is just saying out loud what we all know and have been saying.
Beast mode. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. All right. When we get back, the head coach of the Auburn Tigers, Gus Malzahn, he's going to join us as we will talk about the Atlanta Falcons' newest draft pick as well, their second-round pick, Marlon Davidson. We'll speak with Coach next. It is John Chuckery. It is Hugh Douglas. Hanging out with you here on a Saturday afternoon on NFL Draft Saturday, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and on the WaitForIt.com hotline.
With the 47th pick in the 2020 NFL Draft, the Atlanta Falcons select Marlon Davidson, defensive tackle, Auburn.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back. NFL Draft Saturday afternoon here with you. John Chuckery, Hugh Douglas, hanging out with you till 6 o'clock. You heard Roger Goodell making the pick for the Atlanta Falcons. That was pick number 47 in the second round for them. Marlon Davidson out of Auburn. And speaking of which, we go out to the WaitForIt.com hotline. The head coach of the Auburn Tigers, Gus Malzahn, joins us here. Coach, first off, thanks so much for being on for us a few minutes in Atlanta. But, boy, I know Derrick Brown got all the attention and all that. But, boy, I really like this pick. I think the Falcons are getting one heck of a football player in Marlon Davidson.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Y'all got a special player. You know, I've been at Auburn. It's been my 11th year, and he's one of the just top pure football players that we've had come through. Great competitor. You know, probably one of the more fierce competitors we've had come through, too. So you guys are getting a really good one.
So, Coach, looking at him, I saw a little bit of his tape, and I saw him play this year. Is he better suited inside or outside? Because he has ability to play both. But when you see him, which is he better suited to play?
Well, I think he can play both. I think one of the things that stands out about him is his versatility. You know, we played him outside primarily. We moved him inside on third down. You know, and his weight's fluctuated since he's been here too. So really wherever they want to use him, I think he could be a big-time inside guy with his quickness and his strength, but he also could be on the outside. And another thing too, you could play him off the ball too. You know, I told somebody the other day, I think if he would have played tight end for us, he'd had a chance to be all SEC tight end. He's just a complete football player, and I think wherever they decide to put him, you know, he'll be very happy with that.
You know, Coach, the one thing that I remember about him vividly is the fact that when he was at the combine and he said that he liked the physical confrontation of playing the defensive line. So basically, I mean, so is he as advertised? Is he that nasty when he's playing?
Yeah, he really is. He's a super competitor. I don't care if you're playing checkers or whatever. He's going to try to beat your butt. But, you know, the thing about Marlon is he loves the game of football. He loves practicing. And like you just said, the physical part, I mean, that's right down his alley. He's going to challenge people in one-on-one reps, every rep. He doesn't take practices off, plays off. I mean, he just loves the game.
The head coach of the Auburn Tigers, Gus Malzahn, joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. We're going to talk about the Falcons' second-round pick, Marlon Davidson, the defensive lineman that was there for him. And, Coach, tell us a little bit about the man, the young man that we're getting as well, and kind of what you've seen in his growth over your time that you had him there.
Yeah, real proud of the man that Marlon's become. You know, I got a chance to coach his brother before, and of course got a chance to know Marlon early. And you know, Marlon lost his mom right before we signed him, and he's faced some adversity, and you know, he's just a true family person. He's got a great heart. You know, just he's the type of guy when he walks in a room, just lights up a room with his personality. He's gonna be great for the locker room, and like I said, I can't say enough good things about him, you know, as a person.
head coach for the Auburn Tigers, Gus Malzahn, joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Coach, as you see him projected here in Atlanta, I think the reason Hugh asked you is because, you know, obviously the bigger need really is, at least for right now, on the interior part of the defensive line. Imagine how he pairs up with a guy like Grady Jarrett. I would think that you'll be watching some Sundays and watching his production for this team.
Yeah, I think so, too. You know, I thought there was a good chance that, you know, he would go in the first round. I thought he was that special of a player. So for him to slip the second and, you know, go to Atlanta, and I know he's very excited about going to the Falcons just right down the road. And, you know, most of our players are big Falcons fans anyway, so it worked out super. But like we said earlier, I mean, if they choose to play him inside, there's no doubt in my mind that that he can do that and bring a lot of really good qualities to the team.
We're talking to Coach Malzahn. Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Chuck.
We're talking to Coach Malzahn, head coach of the Auburn Tigers. So, Coach, with everything that's going on in the social distancing and everything, and we're trying to get ready for a college football season, how have you been handling trying to you know, just keep in touch with the guys and make sure that they're doing what they need to do to get ready for the season?
Yeah, you know, of course, we're able to have Zoom meetings where people can actually, you know, the players can interact on the computer, the coaches and the players, and that's really been good. You know, we're just trying to make the best of it and really trying to stay positive is the main thing. Just, hey, we've got plans on when we come back, and when we come back, we'll hit the ground running. And so that's really what we've been trying to do. I know the guys leading up to the draft, we've had really good conversations in Zoom conversations with the guys that you know, are being drafted today and picked up, and so it's been good communication, just making the best of it.
Coach, last thing for you, you know, when you have a dominant player like a Derrick Brown, and we were talking about this even with Ohio State, with a guy like Chase Young and Hamilton, their defensive tackle was such a key component, though, in helping Chase Young to become good. Is it sort of that relationship as well, as that, you know, as great as Derrick Brown is, a guy like Davidson really helps him be able to be a great player as well and be as dominant as what he was?
Yeah, they definitely fed off each other. And, you know, and I think Marlon sometimes probably didn't get enough credit. Where if he was kind of the lone ranger and the dominant person like some of these people that are getting drafted, you'd hear even more about it. But, yeah, they definitely complement each other. They were great teammates. And, of course, now they're going to be playing against each other, and I know they're both looking forward to that too.
Well, Coach, good luck. You know, hopefully sooner than later we'll be hearing about some, you know, actual college football getting underway. So good luck. Hope you stay safe, and we'll talk to you here down the road.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Have a good one, Coach.
You got it.
Okay.
Head coach of the Auburn Tigers, Gus Malzahn there, Hugh. And we talked earlier about Davidson. I'm very excited about this pick, and I guarantee you Dan is excited, head coach Dan Quinn, excited about the versatility. I mean, you know, and I've said, Hugh, you know, we talk so much about, you know, positions, you know, and importance. You know, certainly quarterback is the most important thing you got to have in this league. And then probably next is, you know, the skill set of being able to attack the quarterback from the outside. But I was talking about this with Randy the other night on the College Football Show. Hugh, there is something about, if you have an interior defensive lineman in the NFL that can get in the backfield or sack the quarterback from the inside, you're seeing more and more. That skill set is so valuable to have. And I think that a guy like Davidson can help, you know, fill that role and facilitate Grady Jarrett and making him even better.
Yeah, man, you're talking about how the NFL has evolved. You know, you know, back in the day, it was about coming off the corner edge rushers, you know, trying to put that pressure on the quarterback. But now, with these quarterbacks being able to step up in the pocket like they're doing, deliver the fastball, those guys in the middle, those bigger guys, those dancing bears that can do that, they're even more valuable now, I would say, than the defensive ends, because the defensive end spot has become one of those that has been interchangeable over the years. You know, guys are rotating in and out. So that D tackle, those guys that can rush the passer, they're invaluable right now.
Well, you know, it's funny that you say that, because I talk about the San Francisco 49ers, and one of the guys that was a free agent for them this year, and I didn't think the Falcons had a realistic chance of getting him, but, you know, I was fascinated with Arik Armstead. I mean, I know obviously everybody talks about Buckner and Bosa, rightly so, about how great those guys were and certainly the difference that Bosa made on that team. But, you know, Arik Armstead was the guy that led them in sacks this year as their interior, you know, defensive guy. And he had, I think, 10 and a half sacks, something like that. Boy, you get a guy that can get double-digit sacks from the interior. I mean, you talk about, like, rare commodities, you know, in the NFL and valuable commodities. It's hard to beat, guys like that that just can figure out a way to get pressure, you know, up through the middle of that defensive line or offensive line, I should say.
Yeah, and you know what? You're talking about three-down players. You know, you're talking about guys that are going to be out there. You don't have to switch them out. You see nowadays, and you talk about just like we're talking about with Coach Quinn and the guys that he had here, that guys had to come in and off the field on third down or fourth down, you know, when they're getting ready to run the ball or whatever. So they were actually liabilities in situations like that. You got those big dancing bears that aren't coming off the field and creating havoc. That makes your defense that much harder to try to go against.
As a defensive lineman, what was your biggest adjustment in the NFL coming in?
The speed of the game, no question about it. The speed of the game, just, Chuck, is so much faster than it was in college. It was just so much faster. And I remember just being out there, man, and not thinking that I had, you know, the win to play at the next level, because that was the biggest thing. I'm like, good googly. And this was in preseason. And when you get into the regular season, it's another level. So that to me was the biggest thing that always stuck out to me playing at the next level, was the speed of the game.
You know, it's funny, too. We had on our show, we had Solomon Kinley, the offensive guard for the Bulldogs. And, of course, you know, he played left guard right next to Andrew Thomas. And, you know, we were talking a bit about him on the college football show the other night. And I said, you know, one of the things you can't teach you is 6'4", 337 pounds. And you know, these guys nowadays that are coming into the league, I mean, you talk about just physical freaks that are coming, you know, into the league. I mean, you look at the size and strength. I mean, you know, look at Davidson. I mean, you know, talking about playing him at defensive end, he's a 300-pound defensive end. And he also played, Hugh, some snaps at outside linebacker.
Yeah, I saw that. And walked off the ball. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Athletic. Very, very athletic guy. Like, that's what is going to make him valuable, is that invaluable, is because versatility. Versatility. You can line that young man up anywhere, and he can play with anybody. That's where the game is going nowadays. Bigger, stronger, faster. That has always been the model, and that's what you got right there. People should be happy about this young man, because if it's done right and he's coached up right, he could be a very special player, just like Grady Jarrett.
Yeah, I think you said it properly. You know, when you look at the way, especially in the first three picks, when you look at the way, you know, reality is that the Falcons got a corner, the Falcons got a defensive lineman who can get to the quarterback, and the Falcons got a guy who could take over at safety. That was three pretty big issues. Forget what name is on the back of the jersey and you know, what number of draft pick, whatever like that. They took care of three needs, both that they had for this year and maybe even starting as soon as next year when it's all said and done.
Yeah, you got guys that are going to come in and, you know, as a piece. Like, and I think that's how people got to look at it. He's a piece. They're pieces that are going to fit together on the puzzle and make the puzzle, you know, going to make the vision clearer. And I think that's how most folks have to look at it. They got pieces to the puzzle.
We are at, looks like, pick 199 in the NFL draft. That pick is in. Looks like it's Jordan Fuller, the safety out of Ohio State. That's another pretty good, solid player coming out of Ohio State. So we're about at pick 200. So Falcons are scheduled to be at 228 coming up. So we should be able to, you know, see that pick for the Falcons as they'll wrap up their NFL draft here very, very shortly. So when we get back, we are going to hear from Marlon Davidson. We just heard from his head coach at Auburn. We will hear from the player himself as he joined Andy and Randy a little bit earlier on today. It is John Chuckery. It is Hugh Douglas hanging out with you on an NFL Saturday, Sports Radio Nights on the Game, and on the Radio.com app. Welcome back in on a Saturday afternoon on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John Chuckery, Hugh Douglas, hanging out with you, going until 6 o'clock this evening as we're wrapping up the NFL draft here. See, now they got Roger Goodell in his, you know, big leather chair, and he's got his T-shirt on, and he's got his, I don't know, he's got his soup mug or something over there. I'm telling you, he needs to just strip down, put the robe on, put a pipe in his mouth, and just address the nation like that. So, anyway, thanks to Gus Malzahn and Rod Carey and Jeff Collins for all joining us today to give us some insight on a couple of the newest Atlanta Falcons that were drafted here over these past couple of days. Of course, these picks were second and third rounders from last night. So earlier today on Andy and Randy, they had a chance to talk to Marlon Davidson, a guy I think a lot of us are very excited about, of course, out of Auburn, a school that we've got a chance to obviously see him play a lot. And the guy started off by asking him what he was doing or what did he think when he saw that area code come through that was from Atlanta.
I mean, it was crazy, man. I mean, he was talking about stuff. I was like, man, you just don't know how long I've been waiting on you to call me. So, I mean, it's just a blessing, man. You know, I pay all tributes to my Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, he just, man, this is a blessing. It is a blessing.
How you feel? How is it gonna? How much fun is it gonna be to play so close to home? I mean, you're right down the road. Mama and everybody get to come up and see you play and hang out with you. How excited was that part of the equation for getting picked by the Falcons?
I mean, it's very exciting. You know, being able to be 3 hours away from home, and I mean, being able to be in such a great city. You know, not too many people around there are bad. Not a bad area. Nothing about it. I mean, just being there with people that I already know. You know what I mean? Having friends and family around the area, you know, it's good for me. It's not where I'm alone at, you know what I mean? It's a family type thing for me, and I mean, it's business at the end of the day, but, you know, man, it's important. Yes, it is.
Did you get a chance to celebrate at all last night? I know you had to talk to the media and the Falcons and all that kind of stuff, but did you get a chance to enjoy the moment?
Of course. Of course, I enjoyed the moment. 2:30 in the morning.
There you go.
Still having fun, you know. And then I was, you know, sadly, I don't sleep too long, so I woke up about 6. And, I mean, I've been at it ever since, you know, when I got a little run in. Shoot, now I'm back at the house. Just got done taking my shower and stuff. So, you know, just making sure I stay on top of my tools, man.
Hey, Marlon, how hard or how difficult was this process for you, knowing that you were going to have to do everything virtually? How's your training been going? And, you know, what are you going to bring to the table? We heard you talk, and we loved everything you said. But what is Marlon Davis going to bring, Davidson going to bring to the Atlanta Falcons?
Well, first off, man, the virtual thing, you know, it was different for me. You know, man, I'm a person type of guy, like an in-person type of guy. Like to be eye contact, you know, like a man, you know, that's how I was raised, you know what I mean? So, you know, I'm that type of guy. And I mean, my training aspect of it, you know, I've been busting my tail, you know, even though we can't be in the facilities all the time and different things like that, all the people been around you, you know, man, you go out there with your trainer and on the field and you work and you work and you work. And it's the same thing, like you in the facility or not, you know what I mean? You get the same type of work that you can through it all, you know what I mean? I still paid off. I'm still getting better. I'm still getting bigger, faster, stronger. So, I mean, I think it's a help and not such a help. You know what I mean? Not having all the things you can have. But, I mean, what I bring to Atlanta, man, I'm bringing the edge. I'm bringing that old, nasty, traditional defensive lineman back to Atlanta Falcons. I mean, showing people that I am real, showing people that I am the best. And I will always continue to tell people that I am the best, and I'm going to show it.
Marlon Davidson joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Second-round draft pick of the Atlanta Falcons out of Auburn. I don't know if you know this or not yet, Marlon, but the video of you at the Combine talking about physically abusing your opponents has become very popular on social media over the last 12 hours or so. Like, Falcons fans are very excited about this, rightfully so. The thing that stood out to me about that was the words for sure, but the look on your face when you were talking about that, you could tell that you were 100% serious about that.
One play, no games.
Yeah, you that wasn't a joke. Like, can you talk to us about getting on the field and doing what you're talking about there?
Yeah, I mean, when I'm on the field, man, it's all about me and the person in front of me. What do I feel like lining up in front of me trying to have a long night? You know, I'm going to put my hand down Avilia's throat, and I'm going to take him into the quarterback, to the other lineman, wherever I got to take him to make the play. And I mean, I'm just a physical guy, man. I've been raised on being physical since I was coming out of the womb, you know what I mean? I used to play football with my older cousins and older brothers, man, at 5 years old, you know what I mean, out there in the field, running around, hitting them, doing different things like that, trying to get an edge. Man, just the dominant aspect of my life come from my childhood, you know what I mean, being able to, you know, be out there with older guys, taking the physical abuse, and just, you know what I mean, just being out there and just showing people that, you know, I am tough. You know, that's where all the toughness come from. That's where the edge come from, man. I always had heart. I always had passion. I was always competitive because I feel like I'm the best. So if you feel like you're the best, you got to compete against other people to show them that you're the best. So, you know, man, I'm just making sure that everybody know, man, this is not the wrong pick. I mean, they're getting something great when they pick Marlon Davis. For sure.
I like that part about it. And looking at your stats last year, had a career year, your senior year, comeback for your senior. What was the thought process behind that? Because so many guys are ready to go as soon as they're eligible to go to the draft. But you and your partner in crime that went to the Carolina Panthers, Derrick Brown, y'all decided to come back to for your senior year. How big and how important was that for you two?
I mean, it was very important for us, man. We said it in group tech. We said in group tech, we said, man, we're gonna do it. We're gonna do it together. So. So I told him, I said, man, I'm with you, bro. If you come back, I'm coming. If you leave, bro, I don't think I can do it again without you. He said, I understand, bro, so let's do it together. So we put it in, and we came back, and we put the work in together. Every afternoon, after practice, we working with each other. Every practice before, you know what I mean, we have time to spare, go out there and get a couple of hands things in. Because we knew that we was the center of this Auburn defense. We knew that this is what it took to be great. So we put in that hard work. We put in those extra minutes, those extra hours, the extra film sessions. We put in all this work to, you know, get to be where we are now. I mean, as we can see now, man, it's paying off. And, I mean, we're in great situations. And, I mean, we're going to be blessed for the rest of our life.
Well, and now he's your rival. Now you get to play him twice a year. Yeah. I know you guys are not going to be going up against one another directly. But now you get a chance to go and maybe beat him twice a year. That's got to feel good, too.
Yeah, man. I mean, he called me yesterday. Well, he called me yesterday. He was like, man, I said, I got to see your egg yourself for another team for the rest of our life now. Two times. I'm like, yeah, you got to see me, boy. And then, no, you going down. He was like, all right, we going to see. So I got to start my trash talk early.
Oh, there you go. And you know, the one of the great things about watching you guys play was the single digits. I like linemen in single digits number. Now, you can't wear three with the Falcons, but I think you're going to look real sweet in whatever they put whatever number they give you. I don't know if 93 is available. But just make sure it's a 90s number. But, yeah, I think that's going to be the fun thing because you do get to see your brother twice a year, you know, as far as Carolina playing against Atlanta. And what right now, the versatility that you bring as far as end and tackle, if you talk to Dan, where does he say you're going to predominantly play at right now?
He said I can play anywhere, to be honest. I mean, we're just going to see how I feel, how I fit in the scheme, how I fit everywhere. I'm pretty sure they got an idea of where I want to go, where they want to put me at, but they don't. They didn't tell me. So now I'm just waiting, seeing whenever I get there or seeing whenever they tell me what they want me to come in as, and just showing them that, man, I'm this dominant force and I can be it, for sure.
Marlon Davidson joining us here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What do you know about some of the guys you're going to be playing next to? I mean, you can be lined up right next to Grady Jarrett. Dante Fowler was signed in the offseason. What do you know about the rest of your defensive line?
Yeah, and then they got the Travisky McKinney. It's he played defensive end there with the dreads. He just had
surgery. Yeah, Tack McKinley. Yeah.
Yeah, man. I seen him play last year, man. He's a dominant force. I mean, playing with Grady Jarrett, man, I think that would be incredible. Him, Deion Jones, wow. This is going to be crazy, to be honest. Man, I used to play with these guys on the game. So, you know, it's like a dream come true to be able to play beside these guys. And, man, it's just seeing Grady Jarrett, him having the years that they have, him being the dominant force, and being able to bring Dante Fowler in from the Rams, I mean, I feel like we're going to be a pretty good line up front, and I feel like we're going to show people that we're pretty good. Sure.
Now tell me, because obviously it seems like you're a Madden guy. Have you created yourself yet on Madden yet and put yourself in the Falcons uniform?
Hey, listen, not yet, man. I've been celebrating. I've been celebrating hard. You feel me? So,
yeah.
I can't do it right now. But I'll get to it.
Well, the good news is you're not going to have to soon enough. Like, you're actually going to be in the game. Right, like you're an NFL football player starting today. Like, what's that going to be like to pick up that controller and be able to actually play with yourself? Not a created character, a guy who's in the game because you're in the NFL.
I ain't lying. It's gonna be crazy, man. Because it's still crazy to me now. Like, man, I literally keep telling my family, like, man, I am an Atlanta Falcon. Like, they're like, man, why you keep saying that? Because I can't believe it. And I mean, it's a dream come true, as I was saying, man. And then having Todd Gurley on the other side, having Julio, Calvin Ridley, man, this is going to be crazy. Oh man, it's gonna be crazy. It's a dream come true, man. It really is.
Now the thing about it is, Marley, it's different now because you're not at Auburn. You got guys, and you just said two dudes' name now. When that Iron Bowl come around, you know, it's going to be a little different now. You know what I'm saying? And whatever you do, do not take the money bet, okay? Wear the hat or whatever, all right? Because, you know, those guys, they won't, don't let Julio them take all your money because it's Iron Bowl, all right?
Understood, man. You know, you got a lot more money than I do. So I can't get into those types of things with him. But, I mean, it's going to be crazy, man. Like, man, I'm telling you, like, I love Julio. I feel like he's the best receiver in the league. You know what I mean? Dang, it's crazy to play beside this dude. I used to watch this man in Alabama when he had his drill. I used to watch him. Like, this dude is really good, for sure.
Hey, Marlon, we're about to have your new teammate, Matt Hennessy, the third-round draft pick from Temple, on in about 10 minutes. Anything you want to say? I don't know. You probably haven't had a chance to talk to him yet. We can give him a message for you if you want.
I mean, just tell him, man, rise up, man. We here. We coming to take over. This class is going to be the best class, even though we're not going to be able to, you know, go to the facility or be there in Atlanta right now, you know, for OTAs and all this stuff. Man, we still going to be the best. We still going to come in ready, sharp, and ready to work.
We appreciate the time, Marlon. Congratulations on achieving the lifelong dream. We can't wait to see you.
Congratulations, yes, my man. Thank you. Congratulations.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.